We've got one more section to read in Jeremiah on this last, where we are in the three-year cycle. The Talmud says that Abraham is the first father of all spiritual things. In the book of Ecclesiasticus, which is in here, it says there is not found like him, there is not found the like to him in glory. In testing, he was found faithful, and his seed will inherit the whole earth. The Quran contains 188 verses that mention him. He was the latest common ancestor to the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. Abraham, according to the Quran, Abraham built the Kaaba, which are the temple in Mecca, and he's on par with Muhammad. Scholars believe that he was the figure Sin, the god Sin, the moon god of Haran. He spent 15 years there. He supposedly brought the knowledge of astronomy, astrology, mathematics, and the knowledge of one god with him from Babylon to the first to Haran, then to the Promised Land, and then to Egypt. Again, the Talmud and other books say that he was taught at the feet of Shem and Noah. That all of the pre-flood knowledge of these men that lived 900 years was given over to him. Luther said that for a believer, the study of Abraham in the Torah is like studying the paintings in a house already built. It says of him that he is the father of all believers in Galatians. It says that he is the perfect Christian in Romans. It says that all promises were made to him and to his seed in Romans. He is said to be blessing. He's said to be mercy. He's said to be the oath, the covenant, the type of faith. It says that he received the gospel. It says that he was proved or tested by works. He was praised for obedience. It said of him that he was in a state of joy because of his position. It says that he has secured a place in eternity. He's the father of Israel. He's the father of the priesthood. There's more written about Abraham in terms of his walk than there is about Christ. And Paul said that we should study Abraham to learn how we walk or halak as a Christian, which is interesting. I said in the notes here for many, many years ago, it says nothing came between him and the Father, even though he screwed up time and time again. And what our role as believers is really to picture ourselves as living in Abraham's tribe. This is the picture of the church. That's what the reading and we studied last time, Isaiah 63, about it says, thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33. We're going to read the whole book of Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah 33. But again, the reading itself for this time or this section is Jeremiah 33 verse 14 through 26. But again, because of the 21 verse thing, we're going to read the whole.
Is this still the same chapter?
Yes.
The next chapter?
Same. Crystal, will you read for a while?
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger, and in my fury, and for all those wickedness, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it will be to me a name of joy, of praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And I shall fear, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord. Again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at first, saith the Lord. Okay. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Again in this
wait,
place.
Wait. There's a secret here. And it has to do with what we've talked about so often. It's when you say there is no inhabitant in the land, there's no hope. Then shall be heard the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom. Thus saith the Lord, in verse 10, thus saith the Lord again, there shall be heard in this place which you say shall be desolate without man, without beast. It's the opposite of Isaiah 57, which says, you are greatly wearied in your way, and yet you say there is no hope, for your own hand has gotten you the idea that you can do something about it. You got a plan. It's when you have no plan, when you say this city, this place is without hope, without inhabitant, then shall be heard.
How many times does it say the part about the voice of the bride and the voice of the bride?
It seems
must
like
be hundreds. It must be a lot.
I think it's 6 or 8, something like that. It's both in the Old and New Testament.
But it's a big deal.
It is, of course. Okay. Starting verse 12. You want to read?
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be a habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains and the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord.
Okay. Again, that's talking about...
Passing
about. Yeah, that's passing about the asset tithe. Now, as far as we know, we are the first group to do the asset tithe. Since Ananias and Sapphira failed, that's pretty heavy. Okay.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land.
Go, let's keep your hand there. Go to Isaiah 4. I want to show you something. Verse 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Now, go to verse 11.
Isaiah?
Isaiah, verse 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, the stock of Jesse, the genealogy of Jesse. Who is Jesse?
David's father.
David's father. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Obviously, we go back to Jeremiah 15. It's the same. He's causing the branch to grow up. And that's what's happening in us. The branch is coming forth. His name shall be called Branch. Okay?
I'm just wondering, how is it that in the Jewish faith, how is it that they turn all this around and say that the Messiah hasn't come yet?
Because they say this hasn't happened yet. What?
Well, I guess I'm just wondering how.
Yeah. Like, so Christ was just a good teacher?
A lot of the sects of Judaism, even though I have found 161 references to Christ in the Talmud. The more weird sects of Judaism say, well, Jesus, it was just a figment of the imagination that Paul invented. A whole lot of what Judaism and Islam says about Christianity was that it was Paul's invention. So, start 15 again.
In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Jehovah Tsidkenu. It's how I pronounce T-S-I-K. And it means... What it said, the word means, it's not Jehovah again, it's Yahweh Tsidkenu, but it means God our only righteousness. It means, and you can only say that when you no longer care about being right. I think it's the sixth level of understanding in the names for God. You remember we've talked before, there are 16 names for Yahweh, Jehovah, I mean Yahweh Nissa. It's translated as Jehovah Nissa here, but you know why. But anyway, so where we are now in this understanding, we see the readings and where Abraham is, we can now call him Yahweh Tzidkenu, or God is our only righteousness. We no longer care about our own righteousness. We don't care whether we're right, wrong, or indifferent from the standpoint of anybody else. We have nothing to prove. Jehovah is our righteousness, or the Lord is our only righteousness. Is an incredible position.
So they say she because it's a bride?
It's she. Bride, yeah. She is the bride, right. She is called, the Lord is our only righteousness.
In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. This is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel.
Okay, now either you have to believe some really off-the-wall shit, like, you know, the British Israelites, or that America is a lost tribe of Judah, or some off-the-wall crap that's always been around, or you have to understand that he's never, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne. Because, why? Because the seed of Christ is king. It shall never lack a man to sit on the throne. Well, you can't believe the wars that have been fought over that scripture. You can't believe you realize that under the House of Windsor, the throne of the House of Windsor in England, or now it's the House of Stuart's in there. Which one is it? Anyway, whatever one, they've got a rock, a big ugly rock that's underneath this million-dollar throne is sitting there because they're sitting on the rock. This is the fucking king and queen that have controlled the world. They're idiots.
They don't have a funny head.
A lot of them have a terrible funny head. You know, the Queen of England is the richest woman in the world.
She's sitting on a rock.
For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel.
You must like that, you read every verse twice?
So, yes, I do, because I'm trying to get back into it, you know what I mean?
He's doing pickup lines for the edit.
Neither shall the priests, the Levites,
cat calls.
He's sitting on the throne again.
He's still breaking.
Okay, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually.
And the word again.
Don't read this one.
That also means there's always been the priests and there's always been the Levites doing all the sacrifices all the time.
That's right.
That's not true.
It isn't true unless you understand what we're about.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day, and my covenant of the night, and that there should be, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites the priests, my ministers.
Okay, again, you have to come up with some really weird stuff. You have to believe this, what's his name? Who's the guy in California with a hat and a cigar?
Gene Scott.
You have to believe Gene Scott. You know who Gene Scott teaches that the Celts are the lost tribe of Israel.
Get on the phone.
The Celts, the Celtics, the Celtic tribes.
Yeah, Celts.
Celts.
Celts. That's AKA Celts.
Celts.
I thought they played basketball.
And that they migrated up from the Caspian Sea all the way through up and then they then became the British Empire, and then it became America.
Where did you get this?
Well, he's not the first.
That's a common
theory. It's so common, in fact, that it's the basis of all European royalty. But again, it's either that kind of horse hockey is true. I mean, that's why the theology of modern fundamentalism and the Baptists, it's just laughable. There's no basis to it. Okay. Who's reading? You're reading.
As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord...
Can you imagine any more disgusting than that many Levites?
Three. It's three Levites in the last six verses.
What?
Three mentions of the Levites in the last six verses.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cut... Considerest not thou what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off.
Okay, do you understand what he's saying there?
Yeah.
The two families with the Lord, Judah and Israel. Israel is always, Judah is the code word for the tribes of Benjamin and Judah, and it's where we, it's Hebrew Yehuda, where we get the word Jew. And it always means Benjamin and Israel. I mean, Benjamin and Judah. Israel is the code for Ephraim, or Ephraim, for the 10 northern tribes. So those are the two families that he's chosen. Let's say, we don't, you know, they're gone from the flesh, but he said, say not that they're gone.
Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them.
Okay.
Is he saying here that you cannot break my covenant?
Yes. But, I mean, this is really vital to understand from the standpoint of people who talk about the kingdom of God on earth, flesh, because, I mean, these scriptures wipe it out. Once it's, you know, they take half of these here and half of them theirs. Kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. The Levites and the priests and the ministers and the nation of Israel and the Jews themselves are only a parable. They're a parable for the mystery, a parable for the bride. And in Israel, we see a nation that was called out, separated from the world, separated totally from the value systems of the world. And the priests, we see ones called out from among men, chosen to lay down their lives. And the Levites, we see a group of people who have no inheritance, who have no concern about value systems and career objectives, whose only function is meeting the needs of those around them. Now, all of those are parables to show us a mystery that we might see. We can't literalize it, but we can't give Levites any importance. Well, we can't. Or can we give priests any importance? Or Israel any importance? Or the, you know, anything after the flesh? It's all a parable. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, okay, it's like, you know, I give speeches to Levites, tell them that they're a picture for the rest of the body, that we might see that they... You can just be at rest, and you can see that there can be joy and peace without the struggles of the world. And they're just so that you can see. They're a servant. They're a moving picture of life for you. I tell them that, you know, once you've passed through those portals, you can never, you know, you can never go back. But by the same token, if they take that literally, then they become a Pharisee. They literalize the parable. Do you understand? If we'll find more about this later, but if one of the Levites, because I said that, says, oh, I'm so afraid of Oli because I don't want to be a leader anymore, but I'm afraid I'll get kicked out if I don't. Well, they've literalized the parable and they've become a Pharisee. Pharisees are always afraid. You understand? It's only Pharisees that fear. Believers don't fear. Jack. Pharisees fear. Pharisees are those who have taken some part of the mystery of the parable and literalized it. And you can only literalize it for one reason, by definition. The only reason you can literalize it is so that you can gain righteousness from it. That's why you literalize something. You understand what that means? If you don't, say so. To literalize the parable means to believe that that part of it is real. Jesus said, all things are parables. But see through all things and call forth. What does he say? He said, we are they who... Let me read it. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yes, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Amen?
Yeah. Read that again, please.
Let's go before. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Preaching the cross means, by definition, you cannot preach self-realization. You can't preach how you can do anything. It's only the cross. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? That's what I'm going to ask him if we ever give a talk show. You know, produce your strong cause. Let's talk to me. Show me something of value. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Huh. What more could be foolish? What could be more foolish than preaching of the cross? Because the foolishness of preaching is, if I ever say anything that you can do, it's not preaching. That's why it's foolish. That's why I keep telling you, if you ever hear me say that there's anything you shouldn't do or anything that you should do, you've heard wrong. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Now that, not, he was talking about this. He looked forward, he saw this group, he said. Not many wise men after the flesh. Actually, in better translations, it says not any wise men.
True.
Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things, the lowly things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. yea, in the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen.
What was that in?
That's 1 Corinthians, first chapter. This is 2 Corinthians, fourth chapter. Third chapter, verse 18, start with. We all with open face. That's why we continue to say, just say what's there, open face. There's nothing hidden. There's no second agenda. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, even from glory to glory. As we see him, we're like him. As we look around and see not ourselves, but see him. Therefore, seeing as we have received this mercy, we faint or quit not. We don't quit in our minds, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The private agendas, the hidden agendas that you're afraid to speak. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It means we're there. We're out front. Whatever is there is there. Without apology. And when you look at that, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Again, believe is an action word. It doesn't have anything to do with thinking about it. En pistos. In faith. For we preach.
Believe would also be like
Pollock. Same kind of thing. Good point. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. The word there is bondservant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But! Big but here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be revealed in our mortal flesh. Then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we having the same spirit, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things exist for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, amen, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And for light, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And here's it says it again. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. To look at the things which are seen means you literalize the parable. If you literalize the parable, you become a Pharisee. It's only Pharisees that look at the things which are seen. Peach? Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.